enlisting and buying a home in the wintertime. So Chris will join us after the break at 10:30, but before then we'll cover a few things. Let's go to the weather, and we'll start with that. Today, it's going to be nice today, 35 degrees, though, nice and clear, cloudy, partly cloudy. Tomorrow is going to be a beautiful day, but brutally cold. It's going to be down to the 28s. With that weather, remember, this kind of low temperature, check your faucets. Make sure your outside spigots are turned off and drained. We don't need any freezing pipes. If you've ever had one, you know what a mess that makes in the wintertime. Thursday. Friday is going to be sunny at 35 degrees, and then Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all straight into Christmas. It looks partly cloudy with weather between 35 and 40 degrees, 45 degrees. So it looks like we're going to have a nice Christmas, except for no snow in the forecast. But it's going to be brutally cold, and wind chill at night is going to be very cold. So take care of those pets, and also take care of the heat. We're going to talk about heat in a minute, but before I do that, we always open the show with a little bit about myself. As I said, I'm from Home Team Inspection Service. We conduct home inspections, and you can reach me at 973-547-7748, or you can always type in hometeam.com and put in your zip code, and it will come up with the franchise in your area. Home Team's a national company, and we do business all over the country, and we have franchises in North Jersey, Bergen County, me in the northwest part of the state that covers most of northern Jersey, and then Fran Grenier down in South Jersey. We just finished a convention down in Atlantic City with the realtors and had a very good show. Didn't win any money at the tables, but that's another story. We'll be right back after a commercial, and then we'll start with that. So hang on. We're live on Hunterdon County Chamber Radio.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
All right, it's Larry McAtee again back. Hey, one pet peeve I got. When five people pass you on the right on a two- or three-lane road, that's a sign to get over. So you left-hand drivers that are out there driving around with your head in the clouds or on the phone more than likely. On the way in here today, I got two people in the left lane driving well below the speed limit with their phone in their hand. Big-time ticket for that, by the way, but more than likely, more importantly, it's a safety hazard, and we're setting example. Remember what my father always said, that the kids will watch what you do 10 times more than they'll listen to what you say. So if you text and drive, expect your son or daughter to do the same thing, and we're seeing an alarming rate of accidents at that level. Just my public service message there. But let's start with public service a little bit here, fire safety tips. The wintertime is a big time for fires, and as a volunteer fireman, we saw more fires in the wintertime than anywhere else, and it makes it more difficult all the way around. It makes it difficult to get to the scene, and don't forget, you know, in North Jersey, 95% of your fire departments are volunteers. So in weather like the other night when it was icy and cold, sometimes they'll go to the firehouse and stay there just to get a response. But many times they're relying on people to drive from their house to the fire station, from the fire station to your house. So understand those minutes are precious if you're in the house. And the first thing you got to do is make sure your smoke detectors and your CO detectors are working. You got to make sure that they're powered, that they're working, and that they're readily available, and that you have enough of them in the places where you need them. Basically, you need them near the living areas. You need them near the sleeping areas. CO detectors are vitally important. And I'll tell you, I did an inspection last week, and it was for a home that I actually knew the family. I went to school with the daughter of the seller. And, you know, I carry a carbon monoxide detector, and I just turn it on, and it's usually in my apron, or I set it up top of the furnace, and all of a sudden it works like a Geiger counter. It starts going click, 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 click. And, you know, I've really never had it go off yet. And this week I've had it, I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden it goes click, 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 and it sounds like, you know, I hit uranium or something. And lo and behold, I had a carbon monoxide reading as I approached the boiler at about over 100 parts per million. Let me put it this way. It should be very low. It should be almost negligible. And at 100, at 200 parts per million, you start having headaches, dizziness, sleepiness, even pass out. And carbon monoxide can build up over time. And you would have never known that in this house. It was, you know, there was no problem with it. The house didn't smell. The owners didn't notice anything. But the owners did have a father who had Parkinson's disease that was in a bed all the time breathing this. And I immediately, you know, there's very few things a home inspector, when they're doing it for the buyer, should tell the seller. But in this case, it's a life safety issue, and you can actually tell them right away. And I informed them that they should call a HVAC expert and have this thing checked out immediately. Not to wait, because if they weren't home, I probably would have called the local fire department and had them come ventilate the house and probably shut down the furnace. We called the plumber together, actually, or an HVAC expert, and they came and literally they cleaned out the furnace and found out it was very dirty and blocked. And there's a number of things that can go wrong there. And we'll go into that in the heating system in a few minutes. But just so you know, and this isn't a house that, you know, they maybe had a carbon monoxide detector upstairs, but it wasn't picking it up because upstairs it was well ventilated. But as you went down the stairs into the first floor, which had another bedroom and a rec room, it picked up the carbon monoxide, and as you approached the boiler room, it went off the charts. Don't take for granted that you know everything's working. You should have more than one CO detector too. I have two, just in case one's not working, because CO is a silent killer, and you won't know it's there. But here's an example of something that it took as a very simple fix and just a basic cleaning and checking of the oil furnace. There's actually a natural gas furnace. Excuse me. But it doesn't matter whether it's oil or gas. Any flame produces carbon monoxide, and you have to be very careful of that. We'll talk a little bit about ventless fireplaces and what you have to do there, too. So we'll go on with that. But so carbon monoxide, new standards this year. Your smoke alarms have to be either 120 powered, which means they have to be hardwired, or they have to have a 10-year lithium battery in them. What that means is no more 9 volts. 9 volts you can still use as a battery backup for the 120. So basically, if you have a hardwired smoke detector and it's got electric power to it, you can have a 9 volt in it to back up that 120 power. But if you're relying on the battery power as the primary source, it needs to be a 10-year lithium. That doesn't mean that all you people out there have to go out and throw out all your smoke alarms. It means if you sell your house, you have to bring it up. And you should also, as you replace yours, think of the new code and the new standards so you meet those. Don't forget the other standard is they can be no older than 10 years. And I, for one, am guilty. I'm guilty. I started checking mine, and I thought it was only 5 years ago, but it was probably 14 years ago that I installed my fire alarms and smoke alarms. Most of my listeners know that I have a son with autism, and kind of made me paranoid when I was little because my biggest fear was that he wouldn't, you know, the other two I could scream their name and tell them to get out the window or something. But Matthew was selective hearing. I mean, he only heard what he wanted to hear, and I always feared that I wouldn't be able to get to him. So I have an overabundance of smoke alarms in my house. I think there's 6 that are hardwired and probably 6 that are battery powered, and one in every bedroom. But, you know, it's going to cost me a couple $100 to replace them because now I got to go with all lithium batteries that are 10 years or not older than 10 years. But it's funny how you think of that. You say, oh, my God, I got to spend $200 for smoke alarms or $300 for smoke alarms. You know, if you ever had a fire or a situation and and it went off, you would think that was a small price to pay. I did have one example, and I think I told you guys on one show that I had a carbon monoxide detector go off one day when my wife and I were coming back from a meeting and the kids were home. Their grandparents are 2 doors down, and they were of age where they could watch each other. And they evacuated the house, and it was a carbon monoxide leak off the furnace. So, you know, we'll talk about that in a minute, too. But it's interesting that the carbon monoxide detector is the one that probably saved them, not the smoke alarm, because the smoke alarm probably would have took a lot more smoke to reach those. And since then, I've installed the smoke alarm right in the furnace room, which can be a pain in the neck, but it hasn't been that bad. It hasn't not had any false alarms, so that's a good thing. But it's amazing what carbon monoxide does. So if you have any kind of burning things in your house, be careful. Winter fire safety tips. Let's talk about it. We talked about testing your smoke alarms and your carbon monoxide every 30 days, they recommend. Seems like a lot, but on the first of the month, put it on your calendar. Walk around and test them. Make sure the batteries are good. Making sure that they're interconnected. If they're interconnected, that they multiple ones go off. There's new ones out there. There's new schools of thought that the kids are trained. They just ignore the alarms. And there's ones from Nest that are quite expensive that say, you know, you can even program it to say, you know, Michael, get up, fire. Michael, get up, fire. Think about that. There are different ways you can do it. And also central alarms are something that is becoming more and more popular as they become less and less expensive. Have your fireplace and your chimney inspected once a year. This sounds like a cop-out from a home inspector because a lot of agents say, oh, you always recommend it. I said, listen, you got a wood-burning device in your house or you got a gas device in your house that fires up and burns. And burns combustible material or even a gas fire log. I would want an expert to look at it once a year, check the chimney out, make sure it's sealed. I can tell you how many chimney fires we had where there was gaps in the cement or clay pipes have collapsed and the heat and smoke has got into the building. Animals have clogged the fire flue or the flue. Or just age. Is it too expensive to get it done once a year? Unless you know what you're doing and you can see it. And it's very difficult for anybody to see it unless you have the tools and the training to do it. Even I, who, I've been trained to look in fire, it's very difficult for me to look above the smoke chamber. Also to have the right ladders and riggings to get on the roof and look down the chimney. It's very easy if I can get on the roof, but there are many roofs in this town that are, you know, are too steep to climb and you can't get on it without the right tools, and nor am I going to do it in this weather. That's why you have to have it done. You know, start to think about doing it in August, September, before the rush in the winter, and have it done. So we have, ashes. I can tell you, I fought a fire once. It was in Hunterdon County, actually, and it was a fire on the deck. And the people had put their ashes in a plastic garbage can and put it on the deck. And if you know anything about ashes, they can stay very hot for a very, very, very long time. What they did is they actually got superheated in the bucket, burned through the bottom of the bucket, and set the deck on fire, and the deck set the side of the house on fire. So, if you don't have an ash dump, and if you know what an ash dump is, it's basically the hole in the bottom of your fireplace that you can push ashes into, and it basically goes into a pit below the fireplace, inside the chimney, basically, where the ashes can cool off, and they shouldn't hurt anything there, and then you can clean that out from either outside or from the basement where the clean-out is. Don't forget, you still got to clean it out once in a while. You can fill that up, too, so you want to do that. Also, make sure you use a mesh screen or a glass cover over your fireplace. If you've ever seen a log pop, you've seen it plenty of time in a big open fire. But if you've got a fireplace and you've got a live pop and it knocks a piece of charred embers out that is still hot and it blows out onto your carpet or onto your floor, two things. It can cause damage to your floor, unsightly damage, or it can set fire. Can you imagine if that happened and you're not right in the room? Now, there you go. It's my choice for gas fireplace because I like the fact that when I leave the room, I shut it off. You got a three-log fire. You may fall asleep and the three-log fire is still burning and it will burn through most of the night. Also, never leave candles in space heaters unattended. Whenever you hear of a fire in the wintertime, sometimes you can. It's almost about probably about 50% of the time you hear about an unattended candle or space heater. Most space heaters are not safe to leave alone. They're making newer ones with radiant heat that are, you know, timed off and heat sensitive and all that are better at it. But a portable heater is in itself, by definition, a portable heater that shouldn't be used without human observation and rest and looking at it to see to make sure it's working correctly. One of the things I see, and I've seen this several times, and unfortunately, it's in a situation where people don't have the money or are living with less. It's very careful to say that, but and don't get me wrong, people with money do it too. But space heaters got to be plugged into the outlet, not into an extension cord. The heaters are not meant to be extended that far away. The further you get away, the hotter the cord can get, and the more overloaded it can be done. They're tested with the device plugged into the wall. They're not tested 14 feet from an outlet. So remember, they should be plugged directly into the wall. And if you do use an extension cord, it has to be rated at the heater level or above. You can't take a house plug. I had one the other day that had a power strip plugged into a power strip, and then the power strip had the ground plug pulled off to be plugged into a two-prong outlet on the wall. I got to tell you that's the situation is the one you're going to read about in the paper with a fire, and hopefully nobody gets hurt and nobody gets caught. But usually it's when you're unattended and you're asleep. So remember, follow the instructions on those heaters and the extension cords. Look for the UL listed on the heated. And then the last thing before we take a little break, and then we'll come back with furnace information. Christmas trees. Let's talk about dried out Christmas trees. Remember to water them. You got to keep them wet, guys. They drink a gallon a day, some of them. I know one of the reasons we went to a fake tree was I was tired of crawling that tree and putting water in it. And it was amazing when it was still growing, in a sense, and when we first put it in, it was drinking probably a gallon of water a day into that tree. And you can imagine. And not only that, in my house, the tree is not that far from the fireplace, so the radiant heat is there. So keep an idea that, you know, those are some of the safety tips there about heaters and power and stuff like that. We're going to come back and talk about heating systems as you guys start powering them up. How many people don't even know what type of heating system they have, whether it's forced hot air, whether it's steam, whether it's hot water baseboard. And then there's new kinds like, geothermal, which I'm seeing more of, but still very rare, but out there. And electric heat. Electric heat is big time out there in some of these houses that have been converted, and some of the flippers use them because they're easy to put in without any ductwork. So we're going to take a couple commercials, and then we're going to come back and finish up with heaters. And then I'm going to get on the phone with Chris McMahon, and we're going to talk about some of the do's and don'ts about listing your house in the wintertime and what to talk about then. So hang on a couple minutes.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good afternoon again. This is Larry McAtee. This is Home Again with Jeannie and Larry, and this is Larry from Home Team Inspection Service. Home inspections, we do everything for your home when you're ready to sell or ready to buy. Hopefully we're doing an unemotional visual inspection of the house to give you information and good information to make a good buying decision. You can reach me at 973-547-7748. Or you can always email me if you want to have a topic on the radio or you want to be on the radio if you have something to offer about homes. You can email me at lmcentee, that's L-M-C-E-N-T-E-E, at hometeam.com. All right. We're going to talk about heating systems. Let's talk about probably the most predominant one out there, or one of the two, is forced hot air. Forced hot air is a hot air system where you either have a flame that's either generated by gas or oil, and it generates in a heat chamber, and air blows around it up through the house and comes out hot. This temperature, it comes out of the grills at 110, 120 degrees, and then it shuts off. It works much like your oven does. When your thermostat gets to a certain temperature, it shuts off. So that explains why you get that blast of cold air when you first get in, because usually it's warming up. Some of the newer furnaces have a variable speed fan that will come on slowly so you don't get that blast of cold air. And then you get that blast of warm air when it first comes on because it's coming out at 120 degrees, 110 degrees, and it makes you feel really warm, and then it slowly comes down as it dissipates in the whole house. It's effective depending on how circulation is, how many doors are open, how many returns you have in the house, what size the grill works are. One of the problems with forced hot air is they designed the systems for hot air, which is easier to move through than the cold air, and they use the same system for your air conditioner in the summertime, and the vents tend to be smaller than they should be. But because they're built, designed for the heat. So if you're building a house, think about that and maybe have the ductwork designed for the cold air, and then the heat air will hot air will be better on it. But the things you got to be concerned about a forced hot air is a broken heat chamber. It's very difficult to see. Sometimes you can see it in the flame, or you can feel the back pressure at the furnace, or you see a dancing flame. What they refer to that is when the flame doesn't blow directly on, when you look at the flame underneath. And it's hard to see, to tell you the truth, in a lot of them, because they're sealed units on all the new ones, and it's very hard to see the flame. But if you have an older unit, that's one reason to get your furnace checked out. Now, this is important because oil furnace customers tend to get them checked every year because it's usually part of a maintenance contract that they'll come out and clean it and look at it and reset the fuel orifice and all that. So they'll do that. But most people with a gas one don't get them cleaned and don't get them serviced. And you can have a cracked heat chamber even in a forced hot air system that's gas-powered. And what that means is the flame, the combustion air, is mixing with the air that's going through the house. And you may get carbon monoxide or smell of a gas or combustion in the house because the air is mixing together, and it shouldn't. The flame is in a sealed compartment that actually vents up and out. Today's units vent it again and again. They turn it over two or three times. That way it gets all the heat out of it. That's why you can see the new houses are vented with PVC pipe and not steel pipe or chimneys. So that's briefly that. But the thing you got to be concerned about is that it's burning clean. And if you hear your furnace go off and on, off and on, off and on, that's what they call a short cycle. That's usually caused by a dirty indicator, a flame indicator. There's a flame indicator on most things that burn with a flame that if the heater doesn't light, then it shuts off the fuel source. And that's to keep you from having too much gas in the unit or too much fuel load. So that's one thing you got to look at that. But you got to make sure your filters are clean. That's for everybody, whether it's oil or gas. How many times I inspect the house and I pull out the filter and it's solidly blocked. If you starve the furnace and it doesn't get enough air for the return, you're going to not get the good heat. And it's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you a lot of gas and a lot of oil to keep the house cold, warm, because you're not moving enough air through the furnace. And you're also making the furnace overheat. So that's a forced air system. The number two system I see is a hydronic system, which is basically a water system. It's either steam or hot water. Hot water being the most prevalent today. Hot water system tends to have a pump with hot water that cycles through the house and superheats the hot water. And then when the thermostat calls for it, it opens the zone. I had a house the other day that had seven zones, including the hot water heater was in one zone because it was actually producing hot water from the water that it was making for heat. Many boilers will produce your hot water. Therefore, you get free hot water in the wintertime because if the house is being heated by the boiler, its byproduct is hot water that you can use in the domestic system. They're two separate systems, but they're heated by the same operation. So pretty efficient system in the wintertime. You don't have to worry about the air so much as far as that, but you can still have a cracked chamber and you can still have contamination. That's the word I'm looking for. If the burn chamber is not solid, and sometimes in oil, there's a ceramic burn chamber. It can be cracked. It's just because it's cracked doesn't make it faulty, but it can be cracked and collapsed. One house I did, actually the burn chamber was a relatively new furnace too, so don't think it can't happen, but the ceramic burn chamber was all collapsed on itself, and it was a pile of clay inside the burn chamber. It could be fixed, but it's probably a several $1,000 fix, so it's a good find on our part, and my HVAC guy found it, actually. So we can do that. So with the heating systems there, that's your and then your steam system, I mean, your hot water baseboard has either one circulator pump and zone valves, or it has separate circulator pumps. It can be one or the other. Sometimes it's one big pump, and then it just opens certain valves when the thermostats call for it. It's nice because you can zone the house off, and you can keep the temperature upstairs a little bit cooler than the one downstairs. You can also adjust it because hot air rises, so you're going to heat downstairs where you're living during the day, and the upstairs will be heated just by the heat moving upstairs, and that, therefore maybe you can save a nickel or two upstairs. Thing with hot water you got to worry about is the house, if it freezes, the water pipes can freeze. That means there's water in every one of those pipes, and if they're in unheated crawl spaces, they have to watch out. They have to be insulated because they can freeze. And if they split, they can create quite the mess because they will keep leaking water. Most boilers today are self-monitoring. They'll fill water when they need it. They have pressure tanks to help absorb the expansion of the hot water. So that's what we're going to do. Where are we at now? Got a couple more minutes, and then we'll go to commercial, and I'll get Chris on the phone, and we're going to talk about listing your house in the wintertime. Hope you're all having a very Merry Christmas season. I say Merry Christmas because that's what I celebrate, but whatever holiday you celebrate, enjoy it. Celebrate our diversity out there. It's a sad day in politics today. I mean, I try to stay away from it here, but it seems like we're impeaching a president today, which shouldn't be good for any of us, and it's sad to say it's strictly by party lines, which doesn't make it any easier to swallow, whether you're a Democrat or Republican or anybody else. But I don't think we should be celebrating like some people are, and hopefully we can figure this out and get on with running the country instead of 2 years of doing nothing. But we'll see what happens there. And I won't tell you. I'm not a Trump hater, but I'm not sure that he's my favorite president, that's for sure. But then again, lately I haven't had too many presidents that I really am proud of. But then again, who knows what's going to happen. But anyway, back to the Merry Christmas. Hope you have a happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, whatever. There's probably a dozen holidays out there today. But mine is Merry Christmas, so don't be offended if I say Merry Christmas to you. It's not that I don't care about your holiday. It's just that maybe ignorance on my part, but I don't know everything about everybody. But I don't think Merry Christmas should be a bad thing. It's like Happy New Year, too. Hopefully you guys are going to plan for a good New Year's. I know 2020, it sounds like it's going to be a year of hindsight, right? I mean, hindsight's 2020 is what we say. So maybe this year it will be a hindsight of looking back, which doesn't do many people many good. I try not to look back too much because I'm reading a book right now called The One Thing. And the one thing that looking back doesn't help you, I mean, unless you're going to learn from your mistakes. But we don't change history. We just hopefully change history going forward by not making it current. Well, we'll go there. We're going to take a little short news break, and then we'll be back with Chris McMahon from eXp, and we'll talk about housing. So bear with me for a few minutes, and we'll be back. Thanks.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A historic day in the U.S. House of Representatives has begun, as Democrats are trying to impeach President Trump.
The House shall proceed to the consideration in the House of the resolution, House Resolution 755, impeaching Donald John Trump, President of the United States, for high crimes and misdemeanors.
Two articles of impeachment accusing Trump of abusing power and obstructing Congress are being debated now on the House floor, and the full House is to then take a vote on them before the day is over. Meanwhile, President Trump will be holding a campaign rally tonight in Battle Creek, Michigan. The State Department is reportedly reducing the number of staff stationed in Iraq. A memo indicates staffing levels will be reduced by 28% by the end of May, meaning 114 fewer people at the U.S. Embassy. And this is USA Radio News.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055. 1055.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
Chris, can you hear the show? Chris, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, hang on. Let me just turn this up. Are you there? I'm there. Chris, say something so I can put the volume up.
Larry.
There you go.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, that's better. Okay. Well, welcome to our show this morning. You've done this before, and I've successfully connected a phone call a second time, so I must be doing something right. But let's talk about selling a house or even listing or buying a house in the wintertime. I mean, a lot of people say don't do it, but a lot of people have to do it. You know, I invite you to shed your light on what's the do's and don'ts or what's the myths about selling a house in the wintertime.
Do I have your permission to blow through my top 10 reasons to list in the winter?
That's fine. That's what you're here for.
All right, cool. And I joined late, so I apologize. Do I need to introduce myself?
Oh, no. Yes. I did tell you from EXP, but you can put your name out there and your phone number. That's all part of the game, so go ahead.
All right. Cool. So my name is Chris McMahon. I'm one of the team leaders for the DeVoe Group. Last year, we sold about $150 million in volume, a little over 300 transactions, and this year we're killing it. We're going to crush those numbers. We're just, you know, the year's not over yet, and even this month we're doing really well. That's actually going to lead into why I wanted to talk about listing your home and, you know, why folks should list their home in the winter. And I came up with a top 10 list. Thanks for your permission. I'd like to blow through this. At the end, I'll give you my contact info. So, number one, there's less inventory. And, you know, the laws of supply and demand, when there's fewer homes available, what happens? Demand goes up, right? And statistically, we can prove and we can show that homes sell for more during the winter months. And when I say winter months, I'm talking about December, January, and February. And really now we're in the midst of starting, you know, the spring market. And that's like mid-January. Number two, you have locked-in agents. I see this all the time. Now, you and I both work really hard in the winter, at just as hard as we do in the spring, but there's a lot of agents out there that feel the pain of the ebb and flow of real estate, and typically during the slack season, as I call it, during the winter months, there's less volume. So agents tend to work harder during those winter months because it's feast or famine. So, real estate agents are more attentive, they have a lot more energy, they hold on to deals a lot harder, which really does work in my favor when I have, you know, on one of my listings, a buyer's agent that's, you know, really strong and has a lot of energy. Number three, Q1 job relocation. So there's a lot of large companies that tend to hold off or they defer the cost of relocating some of their executive team or job relocation. So what happens is you have a lot of buyers that are looking for homes to purchase and have to move in January, February, March. Number four, the statistics on the MLS show that homes sell quicker during the winter. You know, everyone's more attentive. Agents, attorneys, appraisers, some home inspectors, not all of them, have more time to, you know, get things done faster. And specifically, and especially lenders, like in the whole timeline, this is what we talked about on the last call, last time I was on, is that during the process, what takes the most amount of time is the process that the lenders have to work with, processing documents, reviewing bank statements. And when there's less volume, lenders have more time and can be more attentive on this. That impacts the overall timeline. Number five, holiday decorations. Right? Most homes tend to look their best during the holidays. Like even my own home, like we take a little more extra time and care. We know we have guests coming through to clean the place up and make it look its best. We're baking cookies so the house smells great. You know, it's one of the tips that I give year-round is if you have an open house, bake cookies the morning of. And as long as you're not, you know, I don't bake because I'll burn. But if you can bake cookies, just when you walk in, you smell it, you know, all the smells of the holidays with the candles and everything. And then the lights, right? Like, especially outside, your home's going to be really bright and look great. I'm going to take a short break there. Any thoughts, Larry, on the first
No, I mean, you say the house looks the best, but maybe you can talk about, like, should people put out, I mean, should they take pictures in the summertime if they plan on it? Because one of the things I do, when I inspect houses in the dead of winter, a lot of it's obscured in a sense. I can't make comment about the deck or the backyard once, you know, you get 6 inches of snow and it's frozen on it. It's very difficult to make a judgment call about pavers and flower beds and railroad ties that you never see.
Absolutely. And actually, number seven, or I had it on my list somewhere on there. Like, no, if you don't have landscaping, no problem, right? There's a simple rule with listing your home in the winter when it snows out is that you don't have to worry about that. If it snows, you shovel, and that's it. And definitely, like, have pictures of what the home looks like in spring. Really, any season. I think during the winter. You know, I've taken my professional photographers have taken great pictures. Like on a day like today, when you know in northern New Jersey, when all the trees are covered in ice, there's some really beautiful photos on there. I may save some of them for the spring.
Well, yeah, the beauty is one thing, but
the house looks like in the winter all season long. I mean, that's the beauty of where we live is things change drastically.
Yeah, Chris, the beauty is one thing, but I'm talking about, like, you spend a lot of money on a beautiful paver deck or a patio, and it's got 6 inches of snow on it. People don't appreciate it. It might be a $10,000 deck. And, you know, I've done things where if I know it's going to snow on Wednesday, I'll go out Monday afternoon and try to snap some pictures of the house. You know, especially if I can get permission ahead of time, you don't show up and start taking pictures of people's houses. Trust me, you can get shot that way. But, you know, get some pictures of the house, and then the buyers are amazed that I have a picture of the deck with no snow on it. Especially if it looks beautiful, then it makes them feel even better. But, sometimes I'll find something that doesn't look so, like the roof looks really bad, and with a foot of snow on it, I can't really say that.
Yeah, or swimming pool. Right.
Swimming pools, swimming pools, because they're only open 4 months a year in New Jersey. I mean, you know, they're covered up most of the year.
So, like, what I find is that homeowners that have pride in their home, they'll have those photos, you know, and it's absolutely appropriate for, you know, to share those with your agent, you know, because if you took a, like, I have beautiful photos of my Japanese lilies, right? But they're only good for about 3 weeks out of the year, you know, and then the beetles hit them or, you know, a bad storm comes by and knocks them down. But those are photos that I would use when I'm listing, and I often ask sellers, you know, hey, is there any home picture of your home that you think captures it? And they always have something, you know, something to throw in. So I wouldn't stop or say that that's a reason not to list. And oftentimes we'll find that sellers, they have those photos, you know, of the pool open or, you know, the garden or the deck or the pavers. You know, as soon as that project's done, they're going to take photos and share it with all their friends or post it on Facebook anyway.
Is there reason to be concerned if you don't have photos? I hate to be a skeptic,
you know,
but I'm always looking for, you know, the downside. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Listen, we're especially with technology now, and we can take awesome photos with drones. I mean, most real estate photographers now have a drone license, so we can show different perspectives. You know, it used to be you took a picture of the front of the house, you know, maybe the kitchen and bathrooms and a few of the bedrooms, you know, but with wide-angle lens, with drone photography, with these video walkthroughs, it's less about the still photos and more about guerrilla marketing, right? I do videos of walkthroughs or teaser. So, I mean, and that actually brings me to, if I can just jump back on the list.
Go ahead.
That actually brings me to another item I had on my list, number six, which is increased web traffic, right? Doesn't snow online. people are already online. They're shopping around this time of year, or it's just so freaking cold out that they spend more time online. And you know, agents that are savvy in getting marketing out through social media are going to hit those online shoppers. And the more that you have that time. Oh, also, people have more time on their hands, right? A lot of companies, they have a use it or lose it policy, so folks tend to take a lot of vacation time towards the end of the year. So you know, they're online already, and they're going to see your home because there's a lot more web traffic. Number six, there's fewer window shoppers this time of year. Buyers that are going out in the cold and in the snow and in the ice, they're more serious buyers. So I always, you know, I would rather have 10, and I think most sellers would agree, I'd rather have just 10 but real serious buyers than 100 people, coming through my home that are just, you know, looky-loos and window shopping. So that's another benefit of having just serious buyers out during this time. And then there's a lot of financial reasons. So number seven, financial year-end bonuses. There's tax implications. There's some write-offs for moving for work. You know, I would have to put a disclaimer in to talk to your tax professional about this. But there's some moving expense write-offs that you can capture towards the end of the year. And then year-end bonuses. You know, some people count on those to make their down payment. Or if it's a bonus and you know buyers get the big bonus at the end of the year, they can lower their, or buy points and lower their rate. So there's a lot of financial incentives of listing and getting and attracting buyers this time of year. Kind of along with that, but my number eight was interest rates. I looked at the 10-year Treasury bill over the last 5 years, and with the exception of 2018, interest rates always drop in either February or early March. So 2015, the rates dropped in February. In 2016, again in February. In 2017, in early March, they took a huge plunge. Then there was a market correction. So in 2018, as I said, that was an exception. Rates stayed pretty high and firm through the year. But then again, in 2019, this year, they started dropping in January again. So again, buyers are they're looking at the rates. They're following it. They have a lot of incentives for buying in the early spring, late winter, so it's a good time to be out there.
Chris, I got to regroup a little bit because I got to run a couple commercials here.
Oh, go for it.
And then you can we'll come back and we'll finish up with you. We'll have about 10-15 minutes after I run these little paid commercials for our people. So hang on one
awesome.
Second.
All right.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarollcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Okay, we're back. Hey, I'm listening to those commercials, and they're all about mental health and healthcare. I'm wondering if they're trying to send me a message on my hour slot. Chris, are you there?
I'm here.
They're sending me some kind of subliminal message about my mental health, I think. I don't know. Nothing to fool about, guys, but I just find it funny.
I thought those messages were for me.
I thought three out of four of them. I said, my God, what are they talking to my wife or what? All right, Chris, go ahead.
Well, Larry, I saved the best for last, and I know you'd have a lot of input on this one. We touched on it a little bit earlier, but listing your home, and this is sort of a double-edged sword here, but it's going to get your home in tip-top shape. It's a true test of your home's durability when you list your home in the winter, all right? But you could showcase that, how it holds up to the elements, how there's no ice damming. There's less curb appeal, right? We talked about that earlier. But buyers are going to be focused on, the heating system. And so this is a real great opportunity to highlight those and to showcase those. Of course, that means that you should do a tune-up, you know, make sure that everything, your furnace and your boiler and everything is in tip-top shape. But it's a unique opportunity, you know, to showcase how strong and how, you know, tough your home is holding up to these harsh elements.
I think that's a great point. One of the things that, you know, like I said, I did a house inspection last week and found a carbon monoxide leak. You want to turn buyer away, scare them with that. And that was nothing but a good cleaning. So it's important, I think, to get that tune up. And I'm telling you to get it in August now, because then they can tune up the air conditioner. Because don't forget, home inspectors can't test your air conditioner when it's below 60 degrees. It doesn't do any good. For one, I mean, what am I expecting, 60-degree air? Also, you can do damage to your compressor outside if you fire it up in that cold weather. So, you know, that can create a concern to a buyer, especially if they get there and the air conditioner's, you know, 20 years old. They're concerned that it's too old. And some home inspectors will say, oh, my God, it's outlived its life. I can tell you, I've had 30-year-old air conditioner producing 55-degree air, which is pretty decent cool air. But if you have that inspection, say, listen, you know, I know it's the wintertime, but I had it serviced in August, and here's the ticket, and it was up and running in August. You take that fear away. You at least relieve some of it, in a sense, in the concern that, they've maintained their equipment, and it's checked out. So those are some of the things I tell selling agents. You know, tell the buyer, if they're going to plan on selling in the winter, get that check and have that paperwork. It just takes that much fear away. Same thing with underground oil tanks. If you had one, have that paperwork, because I can't see anywhere outside. So guess what? Having that paperwork can make the difference between a happy buyer and an eager buyer than a concerned buyer.
Yeah, no doubt. Buyers love to see documentation about how the home has been cared for. And, you know, they look for things like the stickers on appliances and the tags from, you know, when the last time someone came to, you know, flush out the system or clean the burners.
Right.
Great points, Larry. Like, you know, that goes to
a lot of people. You know, throw those service tickets out, Chris, and I'm telling you, they're worth their weight. You're going to get them back tenfold if people can see them.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we talked about the do's and don'ts. One thing definitely not to do. I mean, nothing says. So some caution. I think there's a lot of great opportunities to stand out in this market. You know, in the spring, there's a million people that want to list their house. And literally, like, you know, looked at the statistics, and 20% of homes are listed in March and April. So there's literally a million homes that are sold nationally. And, you know, how are you going to stand out during that time? So the winter gives you an opportunity to really be the best on the block. However, don't overdo it. I see homes that decorate for the holidays and leave them up till February 15th, and I don't think anything says don't sell my house stronger than leaving your decorations up like that. Also, don't make it a winter wonderland. I love taking the kids to look at homes that are, you know, have the lights and the music going with it. It's just a tough sell when there's a 15-foot reindeer on the front lawn.
Well, you know, Chris, you say don'ts do. One of the things is if you have a house with one of those difficult driveways, you know, I did a house the other day where me and the agent had literally had to slide down the driveway almost on our fannies to get into the house. You have to make sure it's been maintained and that you can use the driveway, or maybe you don't list that house because nothing will put the fear in a wife than when she sees a driveway that has a snake turn in it that is covered with ice and snow, and all she can picture is that's going to be that way all winter, even though we both know that a day like yesterday is one in how many days in the winter, but it does happen.
Yeah, I mean, I said that earlier, simple rule. When it snows, shuffle. Yeah. You know, throw down the salt. Make sure you take care of the property. Sure as hell beats having to mow your lawn every week in the spring, right? Or plant new flowers and all that.
Yeah, it's amazing how many houses I show up to in the bad weather and I have to trudge through to get to the front door. I mean, it doesn't say a lot, because it makes it look like the house is difficult to maintain, as you said before.
Yeah, these aren't just ideas. You know, the last 2 weeks I had open houses, and even the seller was saying, do you think anyone's going to come? Isn't everybody busy? But people are out there, especially if you're near a shopping center. Those directional signs will bring them in. Buyers are thinking about new decor. I would love, this is a time of year where everybody, not just those that are in real estate, think about the new year coming up, not just resolutions, but about setting goals. And, my wife even says to me, I would love to be able to have a bigger living room for entertaining when we have, her huge family over. So it's already in our mind.
Yeah, I know that feeling. My wife's putting
the tree. Doing something different.
Well, my wife's putting the tree up, and she's complaining that the furniture's too damn big for the room. I start seeing dollar signs. One of the things that I want to say that, and I know Chris does this, and I know some agents do it, but in the wintertime, have the booties by the front door. Have a big oversized carpet by the front door because people coming in, they're going to have all kinds of crap on their feet and salt and sand and dirt. And if you want to show the traffic patterns, don't have it there. And then they'll trudge right through your living room and you'll see the pattern. I happen to bring a second set of shoes to change into because booties to me are dangerous in the attic. I can fall on rafters. I can, get caught on things. But I bring a second set of inside shoes to do my inspections because I do respect people's houses because I know the grief I get when I walk into my house with the wrong shoes on and drag it through the kitchenette that she's just washed. But
you're in trouble.
Oh yeah, but booties are cheap, and you'll take your shoes off and put a booty on a bare foot is better than having somebody trudge through. And as that salt dissolves, as that frozen tread in your boot starts getting warm and leaves it into your best carpet in your master bedroom, you'll save yourself lots of cleanup and lots of issues there. So. I know that as Chris gets traffic, the good agents are well aware of that and are on top of that. And I think the owners appreciate that. And I think actually think the buyer will appreciate it because they don't want to buy a house that's worn out either.
I have a sign that I put into the front, by the front door and all my listings that says, please leave your shoes, please take off your shoes and don't leave with a better pair.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I don't think anybody will leave them with mine. I don't think there's a problem there. My problem is I got to go back to the truck about four times, and then I got to put them back on and put them back off and put them back on. But
when I'm doing an open house, I'll stand there with one shoe off and one shoe on with the booty over it, and I just point down and I say, you can do either one. People love options. That can show them what they can do, what
options
they have.
Right, and I think it's a great idea. But I mean, it just shows respect for somebody else's property. And it's funny how, as you get older and you're a homeowner, you can tell the young guys that are not homeowners yet. They tend probably not to think about it as much. But when you own a home, you start thinking about things like that. I know, Chris, in the fire company, when I became a homeowner, I started thinking about people's property a little different. When I realized that if you scratched a wall that you're repainting the whole hallway. You know, when you didn't own property, you didn't worry about things like that, and you were maybe a little more clumsy around somebody else's stuff. So that goes without saying. But so you're saying that there's plenty of good reasons to still list your house or still look for a house in the wintertime.
Absolutely, absolutely. The homes sell all year round, and there's more benefits for a seller to list now than to wait. You know, I mean, there might be more buyers out there, but my experience has been the real motivated buyers that have to move now are out there. They're braving the cold. So it's really just cutting down. It's more quality than it is quantity in the winter. And for a seller, the statistics show that they're going to sell for more. They're going to sell quicker, and it's the simple laws of supply and demand that kind of drive that. So, you know, do you want to lead the market, or do you want to follow?
And I can tell you the you know, it's the old 80-20 rule. Probably 20% of the agents are selling 80% of the houses, because I'm still busy. I'm doing two a day right through Christmas, and I actually just booked one the day after Christmas, which I didn't want to do, but person's leaving the country, and so guess what? 10 o'clock December 26th, I'm doing an inspection in Lebanon. So, I mean, there are houses being sold and being bought, guys. Maybe, you know, so it is happening. Maybe not at the rate it does in the spring, but the gems are out there. So maybe there's, you know, and if you're selling, maybe you're motivated. You have to sell, or your time dictates it. So then you get motivation on both parties, and then maybe you get the good deal, and they get happy too. So. The hardest part is I know some people that are moving the week of Christmas. That's got to be tough.
Well, you know, we still, you know, I always remind sellers of this because I think that, you know, the timing isn't right, that, you know, they've got family coming out for the week of Christmas. They're still in control of their schedule. You know, we can, the agents have ways of, or the ability to, you know, put blackout dates on the calendar where, you know, you can't show the home. And buyers understand that. They understand that there's certain times here. Sometimes what that does, Larry, is it creates a little some pent up demand.
Yeah, I mean,
when you can't have something, you want it more. And but the point is, sellers still have control over the schedule, even during during the winter months where there's some holidays.
Yeah. Chris, you taught me one thing about open houses that I never realized. I always thought open houses were pain in the neck, but if I was selling my house, I'd much rather be out one Saturday and have 20 people come to my house on one Saturday than be out 20 different times for 20 individual showings. And I never thought of it that way until you said that to me. And I said, my God, that's why you build up the anticipation for a house to go on the market with an open house. And those first 20 might be the only 20 you need to show. And that's a 4-hour window instead of a, you know, 21-hour showings.
Yeah, I love open houses. I love hosting open houses. One of the best services I provide for my sellers is to be there for that first open house and actually to see the look on people's faces when they come through and to hear the comments. You know, I hear comments like, "Wow, looks better than the photos." You know, that's a compliment to the seller. They have the home stage fright. You know, hey, I thought this was going to be a little bit bigger, this room here. I get that feedback directly from people coming through. And so it's so much easier. You know, I'm old school. I love to meet with people and have a cup of coffee, as opposed to a text message. So to have a buyer walk through the door is a golden opportunity to build rapport and to have a real conversation with people.
Well, that's about it, Chris. You used up your time. And, Chris, maybe you want to leave us with your email and your phone number.
Thanks. Yeah, listen, Larry, I appreciate wrapping with you. I love to do this. You can contact me at chris.m@homesbydevoe. That's my email. And my phone number is 973-527-5318.
And I can attest, I've seen Chris with a number of customers, and the customers love him. And in turn, they love me, which makes me happy. But I think we do a good service. And Chris is one of those guys that wants me to find everything in the house and wants to have full disclosure and wants the buyer to know everything about the house that they need to know to make a good decision. I think we share the goal of comfort to close. A knowledgeable buyer knowing everything about the house and still wants to buy it and still wants to close is a happy customer for everybody. and it means less trouble down the road, and it also means less less regret and better customers out there, I think. So I appreciate you, Chris, on the short notice of tagging on with me today and added value to my show. I hope you and your family have a Merry Christmas, and give my love to the little one because she's the funniest little girl I've ever met. She is
she
is the queen of that household, and don't anybody kid you that, you know, his wife may rule the roost, but the baby, she's the boss.
Oh, she calls the shots.
Oh, yes, she does. All right, well, you have a very Merry Christmas, and I'll talk to you soon. With that, we're gonna wrap it up here. This is my last show of the 2019. Hopefully, 2020 is going to bring a lot better shows, and we'll get better as we do this. They're renovating the building here, and hopefully, the new studio is going to be built out back, and maybe in the springtime, we'll be out there. But if you have ideas for the show, please don't hesitate to leave them on my webpage if you're watching it on FaceTime Live. We got a couple customers out there. Shout out to my best, my loyal follower, Paula. Paula's my wife's cousin, and the girl is a little crazy, but probably one of the funniest ladies I know. And I enjoy seeing her name pop up on the screen every week, and I appreciate that. So all of you have a safe, a very Merry Christmas, and I hope you find yourself surrounded by the people you care about the most, and enjoy it. And don't take it for granted, because every day is a new experience. So have a great one. Merry Christmas, and we'll talk to you guys in the new year. Thanks.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers,